Part 1 Chapter 1 There are some things I remember perfectly. I can close my eyes and be there. In school, shaping a stegosaurus with Play-Doh. Climbing stone walls and wooden stiles with Mum. Or even on the observatory roof, hand in hand with Luke, searching through the smog for sparks of life. Even now, I see his face lit green beneath the moon, smiling in absolute awe at the cosmos, and proving, without doubt, that he had eyes only for antiquities, the way things were. The stars were so bright that I could hear them, like glass shattering. They've never shone so brilliantly since. But the fact I can relive all these things so vividly just convinces me that I've made them all up. Each time I play these memories through, Mum or Luke say something new. It's always something that warms my belly, something that makes me feel better. Only occasionally is it something that hits me hard. But even then, it still strikes a low, satisfying note, telling me I was right about being wrong, all along. What would you call that? I wonder if it matters whether these images are real. It's somewhere to go that's dark and balmy. We all do it, don't we? Where do you go? A long time ago, Mum told me that in her youth, the sky would flock in spring and autumn with migrating starlings, finches, even gulls. Huge grey and white beacons of the sea. I've heard recordings of their calls, somewhere between a lighthouse's horn and a baby's wail. I sometimes close my eyes and imagine how it would sound as hundreds of gulls moved across the blue like shot spray, all wailing to each other out of sync. Ghosts that swam the sky. I think it would sound like the end of the world. Over the years, Mum had collected all the fallen feathers she'd found in the garden, on the roof, in the gutter. There was nowhere too low for her to stoop. No mud too deep or sticky for her to squish her knees into and scoop out the treasure. She rinsed the feathers as best she could and balanced them in egg cups wedged between books on shelves. "Stuff of stories now," she'd murmur, as she pointed them out to me, one after another, telling me which birds they came from. This one, a barn owl. This one, a crow. But she might have well been naming dinosaurs. I couldn't picture any of them. All the illustrations in Mum's reference books were completely flat. One time, we were sitting on the garden wall together, when a bird landed on a perch above us and made the strangest sound, sort of a low whistle. I'd never seen anything like it, with its fat grey form and striped underbelly. But Mum just laughed at it and clasped my face between her hands. "Oh, he's supposed to think that's a cuckoo. The little patchwork prince. You can almost hear the clockwork." I felt silly then, and didn't look back up at the lie. But I kept listening for a telltale ticking that never came. Perhaps Mum could hear something I couldn't. Still, I continued to stroke Mum's collection of genuine feathers, gliding the silky fronds between my fingers. Something about them always made me want to pull away, but Mum encouraged me to keep going, to know what they felt like. But it was confusing for me. Was the feather still alive, without the body it had been attached to? I wanted to stick their sharp shafts into the skin on the back of my hands and wave them in the wind. "Be gentle, Nora," she'd whisper. "The fragile. And who knows if we'll find more?" I wished I could see inside her head. I could almost feel them, her thoughts, or at least the shape of them. She was my Mum, but the things she said, the things she lifted from mysterious drawers, they were from another world. She looked up to the sky for things I couldn't understand, always through her old binoculars, heavy black things, held into shape by stitched skins. She liked to shock me with little facts, things like, "When I was little, the sky was full of diamonds that you could only see at night." And, "Me and your gran used to lie on..."